Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on Psalm 119. Last time we were together, we looked at some introductory material on Psalm 119. Today we're going to look at the first eight verses, 1 through 8, of Psalm 119. And our study is entitled, Walking in the Law of the Lord. Walking in the Law of the Lord. So let's read together the first eight verses of Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Psalm 119 represents man's experience with the Word of God. God's Word is always to be sought for the purpose of obeying it, never for the sake of accumulating theoretical knowledge or satisfying intellectual curiosity. One characteristic of the last days is people becoming heady, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. You see, scholarship is not an end to itself. Learning should always translate into experience. The first eight verses set the tone for the rest of the psalm. Each of these verses makes a reference to obedience. Walking in the law of the Lord is obedience. We are to walk in it on the journey of life. And as we do, amen, we will experience, first of all, happiness in the way. Again, we read in our psalm, amen, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. We see that expression, blessed are the undefiled. We find a similar opening in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed means happy, according to the first mention of the word happy is found in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 13. Let's turn there together. Genesis 30, verse 13. And Leah said, Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. We see that the word blessed comes from the verb that means to go straight. You see, happiness is in straight living. In other words, adhering to the right path without deviation. In the Old Testament, sin is often viewed in terms of deviation from the path laid out by God. Look with me, if you would, in Proverbs chapter number 4, in verse number 27. Proverbs 4, verse 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So we see then sin was considered deviating from the path, the straight path, straight living, as laid out by God. Happiness is discovered in the last place most men and women look for it, in the obedience to the Word of God. Happiness is not found by pursuit. You see, it's a byproduct of obedience to the Word of God. And misery is the offspring of sin. Happiness is having a clear conscience or being undefiled. Let's look, for example, if you would, with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. We read, "Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." Amen. Looking in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, we read, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So here we see that happiness is having a clear conscience and being undefiled. Then we see from our first three verses that Bible study should be wholehearted, should be a wholehearted effort. We see, for example, in verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimony." Amen. "Blessed are they that keep his testimony, that seek him with a whole heart." You see, a man's heart will pursue what he treasures. Jesus told us of this in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 21. Matthew 6, verse 21 with me. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So let me ask you this question. Do you treasure the Word of God? Do you treasure the Word of God? Now, partial effort, amen, equals partial success. If we are not wholehearted, then we have a divided heart. Portions of our heart are not given over to seeking the Lord, but seeking our own interests, sometimes good and noble interests, but self-interests nevertheless. The blessedness of your Christian walk will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in your heart. Let's look at some verses. Amen. First, let's go to the first Psalm. Psalm 1, in verses 1 and 2. See? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Amen. So we see then, from that verse, reinforces the principle that the blessedness of your Christian walk will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in your heart. Look also with John, the Gospel of John, with me if you would. John chapter 13. We're going to look at John chapter 13. We'll come back to Psalm 119 in just a moment. But in John chapter 13, Gospel of John chapter 13, in verse number 17, John 13, 17, Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Again, you're going to be happy if you're obedient to the Word of God. Amen. If your Christian walk is in exact proportion to your love for the Word of God. Amen. To the place that the Bible holds in your heart. Look at what James says. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse number 25 of James 1. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Again, the same thing, the same principle. If you're obedient to the Word of God, if your Christian walk is in exact proportion to the place, amen, held by the Bible in your heart, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy. That's why there are so many Christians that are unhappy, because the Word of God is not of importance in their life, in their walk, amen, and it should be, amen. Look at Revelation chapter 1. In verse number 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." See that word blessed again, amen. If he that readeth, and hear the words of this prophecy in the book of Revelation. Now, also going back to Psalm 119 and verse 3, we see there a positive and negative contrast. Let's read verse 3 of Psalm 119 again. Amen. We read, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." See, no one can walk in God's ways and work iniquity at the same time. The Bible will keep you from sin, amen, or sin will keep you from the Bible, amen. So we see, as first of all, walking in the law of the Lord is obedience. And as we do that, as we walk in the Word of God, be obedient to the Word of God, happiness, we'll find happiness in the way. But we'll also find the second thing, hope in the way. Hope in the way. Look at verses 4 through 6, amen, of Psalm 119. We read, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." See, hope is confidence and assurance. The psalmist said in verse 6 here, "Then shall I not be ashamed." Amen. Let's compare this with 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We read, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you study the word, so you won't be ashamed. See, the embarrassment that comes from doing the wrong thing can be avoided by giving heed to God's word. We see in verse 5 of Psalm 19, starts with an exclamation of intense emotion. Oh, it starts with, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. See, he desires to obey God's word, but he realizes his human weakness. The scriptures tell us the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, we cannot keep God's word in our own human strength. Look, for example, in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 with me, in verse number 7. We read, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, you and I, we need divine help to keep God's word. Amen. As the psalmist said in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 36, Psalm 119. Incline, he's asking for help, see? He's asking for his ways to be directed so we can keep God's statutes, amen, God's word. And then in verse 36, I incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He's asking again for divine help. Incline my heart. Verse 173. 173 of Psalm 119. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Again, he's asking for God's help, God's divine help, to keep God's word. Amen. Let's look at Ezekiel. We'll come back to Psalm 119 in just a moment. But look in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, in verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And of course, this is prophetic, a reference to when the nation of Israel will be born again in the tribulation. Amen. After the tribulation is over, they'll be born again. And indeed, they will have divine help because God is promising to put his spirit within them, cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments. Amen. Look at 1 Peter. So the idea is, you know, in our human flesh, in our human strength, we cannot keep God's word. That's why we need divine help in keeping God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, amen, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. But what we want to see is obeying the truth is through the Spirit of God. That's a divine power. That's how we can do it. We can keep God's word because we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling each and every one of us who are believers. Now, in Psalm 119, in the first part of verse 6, we have the prospect of God directing our ways, and that gives us hope. He says, then shall I not be ashamed. Amen. If God, in verse 5, said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. If God directs our ways, and we allow him to do that, then we will not be ashamed. We won't run into trouble. But we see also obedience must be complete in the last part of that verse 6 of Psalm 119. It says, the first part is, then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Amen. So we see that obedience must be complete. We must have respect to all God's commandments, not just the ones that are easy or appeal to us. Amen. But he says, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Look at in James chapter 2 with me, verses 10 and 11. We read in the book of James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So we have to be, obedient has to be complete. That's the point James is making. We must have respect to all of God's commandments and be obedient to all of God's commandments. You see, the Bible is not a smorgasbord where you pick and choose what you want. Now, a good illustration of that is Saul. Saul obeyed in slaying the Amalekites, except in sparing one, because God's command was to destroy all the Amalekites. Amen. That was God's command. That would have been complete obedience to the word of God if Saul had, you know, destroyed all of the Amalekites. But looking in 1 Samuel, let's see what happened. 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verse number 3. It says, now the Lord said, now go and smite Amalek. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant, suckling ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And what happened? What did he do? Well, like I said, verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed. But see, what happens was, he picked and chose what part of God's commandment that he would be obedient to. And of course, you know, God told him to destroy all the Amalekites and destroy all the spoils, you know, their livestock and so forth and so on, and he didn't do that. And we know as a result, he lost his kingdom. The kingdom was given to David, amen. Now, so far we've seen a couple of things. As we walk in the law of the Lord, and of course walking in the law of the Lord is obedience, and as we do that, we saw that we'll experience happiness in the way was the first thing, and then the second thing we saw was hope in the way, and then the third thing you'll experience is homage in the way. Let's look at the last two verses, 7 and 8. Amen. We read, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. See, we see that. Verse 7 says, I will praise thee. Now, praise is an important element of worship. Your capacity for praise is increased as you increase more and more in the knowledge of God's Word. Let's look at verse 27 of Psalm 119. Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. The psalmist wanted God to help him to understand the way of God's precepts. Why? Not just so he could show everybody how smart he was and how much Bible he would know. No, so he could praise God, so he could give God homage. He says, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. When you talk of God's wondrous works, you're praising him. Look at verse 171 of Psalm 119. Psalm 171. The psalmist wrote in that verse, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. So what we see in the verses we just read, as you increase more and more in your knowledge of God's word, you're going to praise him more. Amen. It's going to cause you to praise him as you understand God, who he is, more and more, and you get to appreciate him more. Amen. The word of God says in Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our praise must come from an upright heart, not formalistic ritual. Our praise must flow from an understanding of God's wise choices, his judgments. You know, I praise God. Praise God, he knows and does what is best. Let's look at verse 8. We're almost through today with our study on Psalm 119. He says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. You know, there may be times when you feel abandoned by God, but be assured, God will never, ever utterly desert you. Look at Psalm 37, and we'll be through. Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Praise the Lord. Though you may fall, though you may stumble in your Christian walk, you're not going to be utterly cast down, because the Lord, you know, under you is the everlasting arms. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 28 in Psalm 37. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Amen to that. See that? For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Well, that concludes our study today on Psalm 119. And when we come together next time on the pastor's study, again, we will look at verses 9 through 16.